Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hello, this is Justice Hill, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, here with Cody Carpentier. As always, reminding you to go check out Underdog Fantasy. Use that promo code ROSTER at sign up for a 50% deposit bonus up to $1,000. Again, that's promo code ROSTER at Underdog Fantasy, and make sure to check out the ultimate underdog and player props cheat sheet at RosterWatch.com. Still have a couple more weeks left of that. Still riding like 62% hits. So, Cody already has his in for this upcoming weekend. I can't believe it. Not as many games to choose from, so it's not going to be quite as many plays as usual, but hopefully we keep rolling with the winners over there at Underdog. Again, Underdog Fantasy, promo code ROSTER. All right, Cody, today we're talking about the Senior Bowl because it's the last time you and I will get on here before we head out. You'll be going to Shrine Bowl on Saturday, is that right?
Yeah, I'll be driving to Atlanta and then flying to Frisco for the weekend. And then I'll be back and I'll be not back, but transitioning back to Mobile on Monday to meet you.
Yeah. And we'll be there at our Senior Bowl house. We'll be doing broadcasts from there. So make sure and stay locked in here on the YouTube page and on the podcast feed, wherever it is that you're listening to this. But just figured we'd do a quick preview of some of mainly just the wide receivers and running backs are the ones that we've done work on so far. And the main work I've done thus far has been on wide receivers. So I wanted to start out there before we just kind of hit on some of these runners. Cody, it looks like – let me just ask you this first. Of all these guys, so there's 18 wide receivers at the Senior Bowl this year. Feels like that is four more than usual. Mm-hmm. Usually each roster has between six and seven guys, man. I haven't seen the actual rosters yet and who's on which teams, but it feels like they'll probably have nine per team, right, if there's 18. So we'll get to see some extra reps from these guys. Super excited to see a bunch of them, but I'm just curious, like, which one of these players are you most excited to see?
I think amongst all the receivers, it's a very diverse class, I think it'd be the best way to say it, in guys that we've seen so far. I really like everything that Jalen Royals brings to the table. He's the wide receiver from Utah State. We've talked about him on a previous show, was prolific in his last couple games against Boise, UNLV, et cetera, 6 foot tall, 205 pounds. Very excited to see what he looks like, but we kind of know that archetype and stylistically like the Jaden Reed, Malachi Corley type of thing. I want to know how defined he is as a route runner in these one-on-one situations. Savion Williams, the super athletic guy out of TCU, 6'3", 228, like just super athletic. I want to see – honestly, Alex, I want to see if they utilize him at the running back position at all this week, because we've seen them do that in years past. Like, I know the year I didn't go, Antonio Gibson, for example, is a guy that was played a lot of receiver at Memphis and played running back. And I think the genesis of that came, I think the depth of it came from the Senior Bowl. And we've seen them do that year over year. So I think he's another interesting one. And then I think last but not least, just the group of bigs, the bigger dudes in this class. And that's, you know, like maybe not big, but like Brew McCoy, Pat Bryant, Jaden Higgins, like these big prototypical alpha builds, but more, I call him like a beta alpha, which is more like that T. Higgins conversation is like he's an alpha, but he's
you call T. Higgins a beta alpha to his face.
I call him a beta. I had this argument with Nate List for like the longest time. He's like, he's an alpha. I'm like, he's a beta alpha. Jamar Chase is an alpha. He's an alpha, but he's just a little beta version of it. So I think there's these guys that are like 6'3", 6'4", 215, 225. that bring a lot to the table, but they lack some things, and I'd like to see kind of what happens. So I guess to answer your question, I'm a coward. I just answered it with like six names. It's a good class, though.
We got our guy Russell Clay in the chat. What's up, Russ? Good to see you, brother. He's saying he loves Savion. Dude, I mean, here's my thing with Savion. I don't know how you can honestly sort of not be most excited to see him, just because you know you're just like, well, what exactly do we have here? And I remember games whenever he played Texas where every Texas fan was saying like, we need to go in the portal and go get Savion Williams. It's like, this guy, I want to see how he weighs in. I don't think he'll be 6'4", but I think he'll probably be one of these like 6'03", 6'04", or something like, 6'3½", something like that. But then it's just, if the weight really is something like 225 pounds, 228, we're talking about a guy that's projected to run like a 4.43. He's so very fast, and just those kinds of just freakish, incredible physical specimens. I'm curious to see how they use him at the Senior Bowl. Because as you mentioned, the running back and stuff, people forget that he was a truly like a legitimate value add on offense as a wildcat quarterback, mm-hmm. and as a runner. Of course, we're talking about Savion Williams, the wide receiver from TCU. I think probably also coming into the week, of all the receivers, as I'm looking at the sheet right now, I think of all the guys that are going to be at the Senior Bowl, unless I'm overlooking somebody, probably in our dynasty rookie drafts, at least the early ones is going to be the first one off the board.
You think you Savion?
Well, I mean, we still have a long way of the draft season to go, but I was thinking whenever, you know, as I'm doing these write-ups,
might have a problem with it.
Who?
The ageists. He's going to be 24 years old when the season kicks. Late breakout. Like I think that as from a talent perspective, I don't think you're in the wrong thought process. But I think from a, like what we've learned the last, 5-6 years and some of these guys not being distinct route runners, I think that that could be something that kind of potentially pushes him down. I think we both like Io Manor from Stanford, right? And he's a redshirt sophomore technically, and he's had some prolific games. And I think the data especially backs Io Manor a little bit more. Yards per run still poor, kind of like Savion and like sub 2. But he did have a 32% team production profile this past year.
I just want to know if Savion Williams, whether this is like LaVisca Chenault. Yeah. Or whether this could be, whether this has any chance of being a DK Metcalf. And it's like, I think that that's just going to be an important thing to watch. And
Leggett, remember Leggett last year? I think we had the same exact conversation last year going in. Is Leggett going to be DK Metcalf?
Yeah. And I don't think he's not DK Metcalf. And I haven't been that impressed with Xavier Leggett. I've been very impressed with his personality and the fact that he eats all these, raccoons and squirrels and stuff. It's been really neat. But yeah, dude, Savion, like, I just think just because of the uniqueness of the prospect, right? What does it look like seeing them go from drill to, oh, this has got to squat 600 pounds and stuff like that. He's going to jump through the roof whenever we get to Indy. I want to see how it, this is the kind of guy that I like to just watch even like go through drills. Like I like to watch guys like Savion Williams even go through dynamic stretch. It's the kind of stuff where I'm very curious to see it. As far as just the overall player, Cody, that I would bet on as being the one who's going to win that kind of Tank Dell Award or that Cooper Kupp Award or the option route two-way go stuff versus one-on-ones. I don't know if you and I are going to agree on this, but for me, it's Xavier Restrepo from Miami. And I know I'm probably a little bit higher on him than you are, but I think Restrepo is super good. I think he's just, and look, I know that you watch Miami closer than I do, but I did go, with Restrepo, I did go back and watch. I think we have between us like 4 all 22 games where you can go watch him. And I watched all 4 of them. Restrepo, he's 5'11", 198. I don't think he'll be too fast. I think he's probably 4'5", 3", 4'5", 5", somewhere in there. Young for a redshirt senior. It feels like he's a year younger than everybody else in his grade. Broke out at age 21. And as you're talking about a guy that was 2024, he was a consensus first team All-American. He's first team ACC each of the last 2 years. Biletnikoff, semi-award finalist. As far as Miami and their tradition at wide receiver, guys like, you know, Andre Johnson and Michael Irvin and Santana Moss, Reggie Wayne. Like this, he's the all-time leader in receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns. Is Restrepo. And whenever I was writing it up, I just said, well, for one, I just love him because he's a dog. And you would know more than that than I do, just following the team. But to me, he plays like a dog. He's just an uber productive, very scrappy, almost exclusively slot wide receiver with a rare ability to sink his hips and explode into cuts. And he does two things extremely well: get open and catch the football. And it's like, I looked at some of the numbers, and it's like, you know, some of the numbers back, it's like when you're like, dude, every time Cam needs it, he goes to Restrepo. I looked it up, only two drop balls on 95 targets. The quarterback had a 141.9 passer rating on those targets, which would have been eighth best among all college receivers. 53 of his 69 receptions in 2024 went for first downs. That was also the eighth most. So it was just clutch, good. Give him a two-way go. He's like, give him a two-way go on an option route, and he's trouble. That's why I think that he's the candidate this week, that even if he turns out to not be good, he's going to look really good out there.
I don't think that I know ranking-wise right now, I'm a couple spots behind you, but like the guys ahead of him, for me, it's like I have a bold take on Jalen Royals, right? I like that archetype, that build. I believe I can see how big Jalen Royals is. I think it matches up with him being 5'11", 6 foot. I like Royals. Savion Williams, I have a notch ahead. I think he's a little bit of a wild card. Those are two guys you have behind him, right? And I like Restrepo. The one note that I did make, one of the con notes I made, I this is a weird thing. I don't know if he's 5'11". He seems to me, when you watch him play, like he's closer to like that 5'9", 5'8", area, which I'm not saying is bad.
I comped him to kind of like a Welker, like an Anthony Gonzalez type of guy. You know?
I don't think that's bad. I think that's, you know, I think that obvious. I mean, people are going to say one on white crime. I get it. But like that's kind of just where it makes sense, right? And I do think you brought up a lot of stats.
He's also like Berrios.
Berrios, legend. Miami legend, right? I think he's got probably a hotter girlfriend than his career succeeded. But I think he's one of the best run blocking receivers in the class.
Dude, he gets after it, even though he's a little bit small. He gets hard.
Like on the majority. Yeah. I watch it a lot. Like if you don't have any instinct or drive to do anything when you know the ball's not going to you, it's like that's a negative in one of my columns. It's like, you know, 77% of his receptions this year, first downs, 15 out of 25 games the last 2 years, 15 out of 25 games with 6+ receptions. Like those are things that especially behoove in the fantasy community as a PPR guy, right? If you're getting first downs and you're catching 6+ balls a game, that's big. And the quarterback's passer rating is top 10 in the country when he's targeting you. You know, you have strong footwork at the line of scrimmage. Like those are all positive things. So I think as far as being like the potential Ladd McConkey or Tank Dell of this class, I think he definitely is up near the top of that conversation. I do think he lacks top end speed, but again, like that's not,
he certainly does.
That's, that's not like something that's going to make or break you. That's been apparent with Cooper Kupp, with Puka Nacua, guys kind of straight up in that ilk. I think he's interesting. The one that is kind of right behind him, we both have.
Hey, I have a quick question. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. Is Kyren Lacy going to even come to the Senior Bowl now with all this legal stuff? Have we heard?
The other day when I checked the Senior Bowl website, Kyren Lacy was still on the roster. If I check right now, if I go to LSU, Kyren Lacy is still on the roster. So I have my doubts that he's going to be there, but I will say, if there's any non-law of not non-law giving thought here is if he is to be potentially not guilty, I would assume this would be the best place to prove that and to talk to coaches and GMs if he still had a chance to play football. So if he's, you know, if there's any string of him being non guilty,
that's right. Because at the, you know, at the combine, you only have so many players that you can visit with at the combine. If they're like Lacy, oh, we heard it's like some kind of negligent, but I don't even want to say it sounds bad. What he's being accused of. And so at the Senior Bowl, they literally meet with everybody. You can meet with everybody. They meet with every player. And so he doesn't have to just hold out and say, I hope that a bunch of teams are going to want to interview me to get to the bottom of this. He's just going to be proactive and going to say, hey, look, here's what happened. I think you're right. His agent's going to want him there. This isn't a situation where he's going to say like, hey, we got to do the PR thing to make sure, you know, it's like, let's keep a low profile about this. He needs to get out there and tell these teams who are looking for information about what's going on, exactly what is this going on, especially if there's something to it that sounds a little bit worse than what the language of what he's been accused of, which sounds absolutely horrible, right? It has a really bad sound to it.
Do you think that Restrepo has a better profile than a Jordan Whittington? But Whittington was at the Senior Bowl last year.
But he didn't participate.
Right? I know, but I'm just going to tie names together here. Restrepo feels to me a little closer to a Whittington than he does a Ladd or a Tank.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Well, he's none of those. Well, I guess Tank was pretty prolific. Jordan Whittington was an afterthought in the Texas offense. He was a great dude, great, great blocker. Ladd was always hurt. It wasn't like he was prolific.
He was a leader, a run blocker.
Yeah. I mean, I could certainly see it, and a complete slot man.
Yep.
He never moved out of Jordan Whittington never moved out of the slot. That's just how things go whenever Adonai Mitchell's on one side and Xavier Worthy's on the other. But with Ladd, I think Ladd is certainly, it's just, I think of him different. I mean, Ladd is just so much faster. Right. Restrepo is more quick than fast. For some reason, I just can't get it out of my head that he was like, he's statistically the top the top dog Miami receiver over the course of his career. And not only receptions, but receiving yards and receiving touchdowns. And every game you turn on, it feels like he's heavily involved the whole time. And he's a Energizer bunny out there. You know, just go, whatever, man. Go, like gadget Restrepo. And he's, he was one of the best receivers in America this year. I mean, it's like the guy's super talented. So
he broke out with Tyler Van Dyke last year, like that without Cam Ward. So he proved that we could do it with a top 10 pick and without.
Yeah, man. So it's just, I think that I don't really see, whenever I look at him, it's hard for me to think of an exact comp that would be kind of what he is physically and what he profiles as, with that also coupled with the production he's had. You know, could he be Jarvis Landry wasn't super productive because he played with Odell Beckham.
What did Sterling Shepard do? He had a 970.
He was very productive at Oklahoma.
970 his junior year, 1200 his senior year.
Yeah, he could maybe say a little bit like Sterling Shepard. I think Sterling Shepard's a good comp. Sterling Shepard had a great Senior Bowl. I think Restrepo could as well. I can't believe this is my 14th Senior Bowl, man. It's so crazy. It's wild, dude. So like soon it's gonna be like 20 and stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. All right. The only other guy that I just wanted to hit on that I'm going to say that we talked about Iamanner, but I'm really interested in watching Alec Iamanner from Stanford. I want to make sure he's not super slow. And then on the other side of it, I want to watch Tez Johnson because yes. I just want to see how fast he is. I want to like, is the kind of guy that I'll always compare these dudes to at the Senior Bowl is, can he get up to that Philip Dorsett speed? Right. Can he show you that where it's like he gets into some kind of acceleration chamber and he just ends up farther downfield than everybody else and just separates with speed over and over because he Dorsett did it in a way that even, you know, super fast guys that we've seen come through like Tank Dell, you know, Calvin Austin Jr., these types couldn't even do it. So I think Tez Johnson has a chance to have Philip Dorsett speed at the Senior Bowl practices.
And I think with that, with Tez, I was just looking back through my grade sheet for like specific pieces to the profile. Like the highest grade I gave out as for a route runner was a 7. I think 3 guys got 7s, and Tez Johnson was one of those. So again, if he can combine what I'm projecting is like a 4.31, 4.32 speed with, you know, moderately high end route running, if we can see that at the Senior Bowl, I mean, who does that reminds you of? 2 guys that did very well the last couple of years, route running with speed, was Ladin and Tank, and that especially with that build that Tez brings to the table. I mean, he's looked well. I mean, redshirt senior, he's 160, probably 160 pounds wet, 23 years old, but I think he fits right in that corollary that you talk about: the Dorsets, the Calvin Austins, the Tanks, and the Ladin McConkeys.
He's from the area too, right?
He's from Alabama. He went to high school with Bo Nix at.
They're like legal brothers or something, aren't they? Yeah. Didn't like Bo yeah. Nix's dad adopt him or something?
Because he was a year behind. He was a year behind Bo. I think it was. I think it was Pinson High School. He was a year behind Bo, and then Bo. Obviously, everybody knows the of Bo, but he played with him for 1 year at Oregon, then and in high school.
Just before we move, I haven't watched hardly any of the Shrine guys yet. I've watched them whenever I've watched them throughout the season. You have any initial thoughts on any of these dudes? I know that like, I think it's going to be interesting to see some of the SEC guys that we watched this year, like Juice Wells, Keandre Lambert Smith seems like he's not too good for the Shrine because this, like, I don't think that's really the case anymore. The Shrine Bowl's getting good players now, but he seems more like a Senior Bowler to me. And then I don't know if you've watched Nick Nash at all from San Jose State, but he has an absolute hive out there as far as people that really care about the production stuff. Is there anybody that – or just let people know about that you're interested in seeing at the Shrine Bowl before we talk about some of these running backs?
Well, I mean, there's people out there that wanted Nick Nash to win the dang Biletnikoff Award this year, and they were mad.
He has a hive for sure. Yeah.
So I think other than obviously him, a guy I haven't really watched a ton of, Ricky White from UNLV. I think he's pretty sick, nasty. You talked about Ole Miss, Antoine Juice Wells, formerly of South Carolina, formerly of James Madison. He's an aged guy. He's up to 24 years old. Keandre Lambert Smith. I just like looking at my rankings right now, like where he's at and the names ahead of him. Like I don't love where he's at. And we'll talk about this over the course of the next couple of months, but I think that this receiving class, whilst I don't think it's great, there's a couple of guys at the top, maybe 5 or 6 that I really care about from a high-end perspective where I think that there's potential there. I think that there's going to be guys that are going to get opportunities in fall camp, and like you talk about, I think Keandre Lambert-Smith, if his speed comes in the sub-4.4s and he has a good Shrine Bowl practice and a good spring, I think that that's going to help him. I think a Ricky White from UNLV, if he has a good process, like that's going to help him. These are guys that could be like fourth-round picks and kind of exactly where I projected them, third, fourth-round picks that do earn opportunities like we've seen. The easy one to think about is like Tank Dell, right? Earn an opportunity as a rookie and do something with it. It's not a great class, but there are pieces in it that I think you can nab at. So I think I'm most looking forward to watching, of course, Nick Nash, but then also 2 guys that I kind of like in Ricky White and Keandre Lambert-Smith, who you brought up before.
As far as the running backs, like I said, I've not done my – I always start out with the wide receivers, and I'll get to the running backs after that. So I've not done my formal evals on these guys, but I work in, this is my job to do this and watch these games. So I certainly have thoughts about a whole lot of these players. I guess the three that I think about, there's really four that I'm super interested to see this week, all for different reasons. And I think that watching, I think as far as the Shrine Bowl, I think the Shrine Bowl, it's as usual, like they're going to be running backs that come out of the Shrine Bowl that, like, we're getting calls on the SiriusXM show by week eight that people are like, should I start this guy? Or should I start this guy over Travis Etienne? You know what I'm saying? Like, yep. And like, within 8 weeks of being a rookie, like one of these dudes. But as far as the senior bowlers, as I look at it, I want to see. I want to see Cam Scadaboo. And the reason I'm interested to see him is because he's going to come into the week, and Scadaboo, if you've watched him, people are going to say, well, he's a, you know, because he's white, they're going to say he's a Toby Gerhardt, or he's a, you know what I mean? They just are. They're going to say he's a, what's the name of the Peyton Hillis or something. And I don't think those are terrible comps. But to me, when I watch him, man, I see more of like a James Conner. And I think that with that kind of skill set, you can go to the Senior Bowl and you can do the things that these running backs do that we've seen have really elevated their profile, elevated their draft stock, go in there like a Kareem Hunt, be able to, you know, catch the ball well out of the backfield, be good in pass pro, and then also the only time that we really get to eval these guys as far as just in their drill work. Whereas with wide receivers, every route you get to get a big eval, right? And it's not like that with the running backs. Half the time they're just running through bags and their coaches are just hitting them with these bags, and they're having to, you know, ball security. There's not much to take away from any evaluation standpoint at an all-star setting. There just isn't. The one is on the inside run drills, right? Where you have this, you're just going up against this seven man box. And in those spots, Scadaboo's really good at that, but he's also really good at catching the ball out of the backfield. He's just an all-around ball player. And so I think he's the kind of guy that can help himself. I'm interested in seeing Donovan Edwards, and just kind of figuring out maybe what happened with him to where he always gets his job taken. You know, he got in there for a little while with Blake Corum at the end of last season when he was hurt, and looks like he's going to be like better. And then Blake Corum comes back off, the season before last. Then Blake Corum comes off of ACL, renders Donovan Edwards to complete dust. And then this year, what's his name? Hollings?
Khalil Mullings.
Mullings. Oh, yeah. Comes in there and kind of takes the job. And you just wonder, man, what happened to the Donovan? Like, I'm just, where's the Donovan Edwards that we saw for those like five games whenever Corum was hurt at the end of 2022? And then the other one, the other two really, Jarquez Hunter from Auburn. Every time I watch them, I always just came away thinking that this guy's going to be an NFL stud. He has the body type that I absolutely love for these guys. I want to make sure that he's, I think, he, do you think that Jarquez could be possibly sub 4.5?
I think 4.5 is a good number.
I think it's a, I just really want to see it because I just think he has such good contact balance. And then the one I'm most fascinated with, Cody, and this is one that you and I've been talking about for on our college football show that we do nightly, is Ollie Gordon and just what happened to him. What happened? And like, how can him and Chuba Hubbard both have the exact same school, the exact same thing with the giant, you know, the giant sort of what, I guess junior year prior to the senior, or is that right? Was Ollie even a junior last year? Was he a
junior? His junior season was this year.
Okay, so such a big like second to last season, and then the downfall in the last season. I want to see Ollie Gordon being Ollie Gordon from 2023, because if he is, we're talking about, you know, we know that the running backs at the very top of this thing, right? But you tell me that Ollie Gordon can't jump into the top, you know, jump in as RB4 or heck, RB3 or RB2 in this class if he was the same Ollie Gordon as last year. So those are the ones that are kind of stick out to me.
This is a very strong running back class. We've talked about that. We'll continue to talk about it on a lot of shows for the next couple of months. But Ollie's one that, you know, outside of maybe Travion Henderson, has been talked about the most in this class over the past couple of years. I just got done actually with my Ollie Gordon write up. It'll probably be up in the next, you know, week or two or whatever over on Roster Watch. There's a lot of spotlights going up on rosterwatch.com in the daily. So go check those out over there as a pro or premium member. But Ollie, you know, Alex, the multiple things popped out at me in that one, the offensive line was bad. Putrid. Every time I watched back two games, and there was clear like direction of what the plan was, and then there was a clear like, oh, it just like disappeared so fast of how inept the offensive line was. That kind
was
of
it, was it an outside zone, or what do you remember where you noticed it the most whenever things would fall?
I think
apart?
He excelled most on like some outside zone stuff.
Yeah.
The more inside gap stuff where there was linemen moving around was where I thought the offensive line kind of fell apart. And it seemed like at times you're like, man, the inside run with this team is horrible. And then all of a sudden, Ollie would do something, right? He'd have a missed tackle, right? He was top 10 last year in missed tackles forced. He was top 10 last year in yards after contact per attempt. Two data points that regressed this year down a little bit. But two things that we know he's really good at. He's a very dense bodied running back that literally dudes just like very few running backs you'll ever watch. Do you see a running back or a defender hit a dude at full speed and just like bounce off?
Yeah.
And he's not built like Derrick Henry. He's not 6'3", 6'4", 250. He's a pretty solid, probably 227, 232. Like,
yo, do you think he's going to weigh in that much?
I sure hope he does. I sure hope he weighs in like 228, 230. But the biggest thing that kind of popped out at me, Alex, and I maybe I fell victim because I haven't really watched him like deep. Like we watch him because he's Big 12 in the Texas Conference the last couple of years, and then just because he's Ollie this past year was how like kind of fluid he is in the pass catching game. And like I think that's a very underrated part of his game is pass catching, ability to just like maneuver and utilize his hands down the field. I think he had 39 receptions this year. He's got 80 in 3 years. That's going to be something. I mean, I love that. I love his contact balance. I love almost everything that he brings to the table. There's some stuff that's a little underwhelming. I think he does lack breakaway speed down the field, but like kind of similar to a Derrick Henry and Adrian Peterson. It's like once you get that head of steam, it's fast enough to just get you there. And that's going to be something that I think continues to help him grow. He did suffer a couple of like minor knee injuries where he got banged up and had to depart like the West Virginia game and maybe one other. And then his quarterback play was, I mean, watching Alan Bowman for Oklahoma State maneuver an offense was, Alex, painful. And like you can understand why Oklahoma State was so bad this year, and you can write it off to the bad quarterback play, bad offensive line play.
No, but one true, Alan Bowman has never been as bad. Like he's like everything was bad this year. They just turned bad.
But like there's games where it's like it's unfolding and they're winning a game, and it just turns backwards, and you can see the game script go out the window, and Ollie doesn't get the game script he got a year ago, where you're leaning into the guy, and he's. I think the stat from last year I wrote down was he had three games this year with 18 plus rush attempts. Three games. In 2023, he had nine. And, you know, that's a game script thing, right? It's you can lean on that big dog. You can lean on Derrick Henry late in games. You can lean on Adrian Peterson late in games because you're winning, because you have a competent offense that can play football. Maybe it's not an elite quarterback, but it's good enough to get you there. And that's something Oklahoma didn't have this year. And I'm just like, I'm looking forward to seeing what Ollie Gordon looks like next week. But I am full-fledged, like without a doubt, he's going to be in the top five of running backs for me in the 2025 class.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.